You are listening to In Conversation with Standard Bank Corporate and Investment Banking. The second part of Section 5 of the Soft Drinks in East Africa Beverages Report deals with the risks prevalent in the various soft drinks categories. We spoke to three of the sector analysts in consumer sector client coverage to hear their thoughts. So, what are we dealing with here today?
In the first section of Chapter 5, we covered the different categories, and in this section, we go into the category risks. So should you be an investor and you're interested in going into this industry, what are the things you should look out for from labeling perspective, from a sugar tax perspective, as well as what to look out for in with bottled water?
While a tax on sugar-sweetened beverages has found resonance with lawmakers from the UK to Chile and South Africa, the same cannot be said for the East African market. Why is that, Ismail?
Over the last couple of years, there have been sugar taxes implemented across a number of countries around the world, primarily to combat obesity and related diseases that follow thereafter. In our view, it's unlikely for that to happen in East Africa in the near term. And we say that for a couple of reasons. One, the obesity levels in East Africa are below 10% and far below sort of global averages. So on that perspective alone, it's highly unlikely to be implemented to combat obesity. Secondly, the way manufacturers have responded around the world to the introduction of a sugar tax is by changing the price point and secondly, reformulating drinks. In other words, going from, let's say, a 400ml soft drink, carbonate drink, to a 330ml, and in therefore reformulating the level of sugar within the drink to manage the tax in a way. When we look at the East African market, we think that's unlikely because already it's such a price-sensitive market that any changes in price dynamic will have a massive impact on demand.
Linda, how is the lack of labeling expected to impact the market?
So the lack of labeling in East Africa is a huge issue, particularly for the consumer, not much for the manufacturer, because there's currently no legal obligation imposed for them to actually display any nutritional information on the label of their products. But in 2013, Coca-Cola took a global decision to actually start providing this information. And because they also did this in East Africa, the local companies then followed suit in providing some information to consumers. But the issue about this is that Coca-Cola only displays this information on the plastic bottle, and this information is not found in the glass bottles. And because glass bottles are cheaper than the plastic bottles, this means that mainly the lower to middle income consumers are not able to actually get this information. And they're the ones that are most exposed because they don't know what they are consuming.
And what about energy drinks?
When looking at energy drinks particularly, we see that the labeling there is also still unclear. And this is mainly due to regulations. And this is a global issue affecting countries such as the US as well as South Africa. And we also observe this in East Africa, particularly with the local players. We're seeing that they're not displaying information when it comes to some of the harmful effects that an energy drink can have on a consumer. We believe if new labeling requirements were to be imposed on energy drinks, this includes health warnings on caffeinated drinks, consumption of this category would decline as consumers would now be more aware of what they're consuming.
Tsegofatso, if I could bring you in here, what risks does the bottled water sector face?
So when it comes to the risks of bottled water, what we found is that the current landscape presents itself as highly fragmented, and there is little to no regulation governing the manufacturing process of some of the brands in the region. As it stands, Kenya and Uganda are governed by regulation, but the current regulations are still quite new, they're not robust enough, and they are inadequately enforced. And this results in the continuation of the counterfeit market. In 2018, the Kenya Bureau of Standards identified 157 water companies who were manufacturing bottled water without a license. Unregulated water is very rife in East Africa, especially because I've mentioned that it is an under-regulated environment. I think the safest water, and even that was found to be a bit suspect, is water that is produced by like the big bottling companies. But what you find is that there are a lot of local players who start off with one specific category and branch into water. And remember, water is like the foundation of all bottled soft drinks. So you put water in carbonated soft drinks, you put water in juice. So anyone who wants to create those other categories will start off with water. So it's very easy to enter into that market, especially if it's under-regulated. I think that if it were to become more regulated, it would definitely be a plus from a consumer perspective, because now consumers won't be at risk of consuming water that will make them sick. I also think that it will make it a more lucrative and profitable environment or industry for investors, because everyone is going to be playing on the same level, on the same level or playing field, and they'll be challenged to produce quality. And as a result of producing quality, they can increase their margins and make a profit, because now consumers are going to pay for the trust or pay for that quality so as not to get harmed by whatever they consume.
So those were some of the findings on the risks. Keep listening for more from the Soft Drinks in East Africa Beverages report.